I want to take you this morning to Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapter 2. I will be reading the first through the 13th verses, but the text comes from verse 2 of that chapter. 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 13. Hear now the word of God. You then, my child, be strong, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men, who will be able to teach others also. Share in the suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering bond with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy. For if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. So far, in God's holy and infallible word. And I remind you of the text, verse 2, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can open your word, hear your voice speaking, as your Spirit speaks through your word. Now may he also do that work of illumination of our hearts and minds, that we might understand your will and be ready to do it to the praise and honor and glory of your name and the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me start by asking this question. How will we know if the ministry of Macaño is a success? How will we know if it's a success this year? Will we know it because there will be graduates that come and get our qualification in their hands? Is that what makes Macaño a success? Or is it something else? I want to suggest to you this morning that the words of Paul to his disciple and spiritual son, Timothy, give us a better answer to that question. The ministry of the Makanyo this year will be a success, not as we judge it this year, but as we judge it in the future. As the students here go out and are called to congregations, and the gospel message is transmitted to others, including others who will be called themselves to proclaim the gospel. What we have before us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, is Paul speaking to his spiritual son about gospel transmission, about how the truth of God is to go from generation to generation. If this process had not taken place, there would be none of us in this room who would belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in order for us to come to faith and repentance in the Lord Jesus Christ, there had to be someone who ministered the gospel to us. And there is that chain of gospel transmission that started with Jesus Christ himself as he ministered to his apostles. And as they, like Paul, found others like Timothy to give the gospel to, who would give it to others until it comes down to our own day. So as we consider this text this morning, I want to focus on three things as we think about gospel transmission. First of all, what is transmitted? Secondly, how is it transmitted? And thirdly, what is the result of its transmission? Now, in the first place, we then come to the question, what is transmitted? Paul says to Timothy that Timothy is to take the things that he has heard from Paul and give it to others. It is Paul's teaching that is transmitted in this chain of transmission. But what is Paul's teaching? It is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we do not know exactly the exact things that Paul had in mind when he addressed Timothy, because he seems to be talking about a certain time when he transmitted a certain truth or a certain body of truth to Timothy, because he describes it as what Timothy learned from him in the presence of many witnesses. But that should not trouble us, because we know from other scripture what Paul considered the gospel message. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and following, we learn that he considered of the first importance the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know from the first chapter of that same letter to the Corinthians that Paul says to them that he determined to know nothing among them except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It is the gospel that Paul transmitted to Timothy. But we need to dig deeper to ask the question, what indeed is the gospel? Because we live in a day in which we are told by many people what the gospel is, and it doesn't necessarily match what the scriptures of the Old and New Testament say the gospel is. There are some that would tell us that the gospel is the gospel of prosperity, that God wants every Christian to be a millionaire, to never be sick a day in their lives, and to live lives of luxury and ease. Is that the gospel message, brothers and sisters? Or is that a false message that comes from the pit of hell? We know that's not the gospel message, because this same apostle says to Timothy in another place, all those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And right here, we see him saying the same thing. He tells Timothy later on in this text that he is to share in the suffering as Paul himself suffered. Did the Apostle Paul live a life of riches, luxury, and ease? Or did he live a life of service and suffering? We know what the answer to that question is, don't we, brothers and sisters? So what is the gospel? The gospel is the good news of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. But what is salvation? Because people have a different ideas of what salvation means. There are some people in the world today who proclaim that salvation is political freedom, multi-partyism or democracy or some other political term that they use, and that this is salvation. Now, those may be good things, and they may be things that Christians should seek for their communities and for their societies, but that is not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. People love to think of themselves as victims in many ways. But let me tell you one thing that I am absolutely convinced of. There has only ever been one victim in the whole of the human race. And that victim was the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who did not sin. Neither was there evil in his mouth, and yet his enemies took him and nailed him to the cross that he didn't deserve. He was the victim, and he was the victim for his people. Because the good news of the gospel is always placed upon the background of the bad news of our sin and our misery. That we are rebels, that we have displeased God by thought, by word, and by action. And the people who are lost and dying around us need to hear that that is their condition. It doesn't matter how much money may be in their bank accounts. It doesn't matter if they're able to drive a nice automobile. It doesn't matter if they live in a fine house. Their condition before God is that of those who are under his wrath and curse. Because the word of God says, the soul that sins shall die. So the gospel that is to be transmitted is the good news that Jesus Christ has taken the sin of his people in his own body and paid the penalty for them, for us. He has taken our place under the wrath and the curse of God. Now, that's not the only thing that we preach, but that is the heart of what we preach. That is the center of what we preach. It's not something on the periphery that we remember on Good Friday or another holiday like that. It is always the center of the gospel that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's what Paul said. That was the center of his gospel. And that must be the message that is transmitted. But then, in the second place, how is it transmitted? Now, I want to address this question in two ways. First of all, from the text, to speak of what I might call the mechanical way of gospel transmission. If you look at verse 2 of the text, you see obviously there are three levels of teaching that Paul speaks about in this text. He speaks about the teaching that he gave to Timothy. That's one level. He speaks of Timothy teaching what he calls faithful men. That's the second level of teaching. And then he talks about those faithful men teaching others. That's the third level of gospel transmission. The gospel is communicated by this kind of chain of the teaching of one generation to another, or one set of people to another. The chain didn't really start with Paul, did it? Because Paul, when he was in Arabia, tells us he was taken up to the third heaven. And there he was instructed in the gospel by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The other apostles learn their teaching, their doctrine from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And not only from the mouth of the living Savior, but also they learned it from the pages of the Old Testament, which Jesus himself said, "These are they that testify of me." So that's where the chain starts. But then it continues, and the apostles who learned it from Scripture and from the Lord found others and taught it to them, like Timothy. And then Timothy, if he was obedient, as we assume he was, to this instruction from Paul, he found other men to entrust the gospel to. And they found others in turn. Now, what do we learn from this, brothers and sisters? And I speak mainly here now to the brothers who are looking forward to gospel ministry. You're now students at Macaño, and you're receiving much teaching that has great relevance to the gospel you are to preach. But remember, this teaching is not for you alone. It's not just something that you soak up for your own personal spiritual edification. I hope you receive, as a lecturer, I hope you receive edification from what I teach and what the other lecturers teach. But that's not the only goal. Always, when you are receiving the teaching here, first, you check it with Scripture to make sure it is the gospel. But then you say, how may I use it to communicate it to my people and even to communicate it to others that God may be calling after me into gospel ministry? Every day, you have the opportunity not only to learn for yourself, but to learn on behalf of your sheep. Well, I've talked about the way of transmission in terms of its mechanics, but there's another focus that needs to be given here. And the other focus is the manner by which that mechanics is performed. Because there's a word that stands out here where Paul says that what he has taught Timothy, that same thing Timothy is to entrust to faithful men. Why is there so much heresy in the church? And why has there been so much heresy in the church from its beginning? And I believe the answer to that question, brothers and sisters, is because some who have received the gospel have not been faithful in transmitting the gospel. Now, Paul only uses the word faithful to refer to the ones that Timothy is going to teach. But we can infer that he understands this quality of faithfulness to be what is ought to be at every step of the chain of gospel transmission. Now, in a sense, Paul didn't have to worry about it too much for himself, because he was an inspired apostle and the Holy Spirit was at work in him to suppress every error that he might have come to as he transmitted the gospel in his preaching and in the writing of his epistles. But, brothers and sisters, there are no longer any inspired apostles among us. And the Holy Spirit does not guarantee that he will keep you from all error. Faithfulness is an obligation that rests upon you, in dependence upon the Holy Spirit. I said a moment ago that when you hear the teaching of your lecturers here at Macaño, the first thing you do is check it with the scripture to see that what you're saying is so. But when you go out to preach yourself, that's also your obligation. Is what you are preaching in accordance with God's holy and infallible word? Or are you just preaching your own opinions, your own pet grievances about the congregation, or other things like that? That's not the gospel, and that's not being faithful. Being faithful is when we take what others have given us faithfully and transmit it to the people whom we serve. You have not succeeded as a student just because you pass an examination or you get a distinction on a semester project. You will have succeeded as a student when, after you graduate and you go out to proclaim the gospel to God's people and to call the lost to salvation, you will have succeeded when the gospel that you transmit is the gospel that you receive from God's word and through the ministry of those who taught you the word of God. That's success. Not having a piece of paper, a qualification in my hand, but knowing that the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ have been fed and instructed, and that even through our ministry, someone might hear God's call in his life to be himself a shepherd of God's people. Then finally, what is the result of gospel transmission? And what I'm really asking is, what is the result of faithful gospel transmission? The result of unfaithful gospel transmission is heresy, false teaching, immoral lifestyles on the part of Christians, families that are disintegrating, That's the result of unfaithful gospel communication. People who are so set upon making a fortune that they forget about the Word of God and the holiness that they are called to in their lives. But what is the result of faithful gospel transmission? The result is that the church of Jesus Christ continues to be built. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, he could have chosen to build his church by sending the holy angels to each generation to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you ask me, Dr. Wingard, why didn't he do that? I have no answer for you. I don't know. That would seem to be such a better method than to use an earthen vessel like me and others to do it. But Christ builds his church through that succeeding generation after generation of faithful transmission of the gospel. But what I want to leave you with right now is the question, where does this take place? Is this chain of gospel transmission only a local thing? The generations of one congregation moving down through history? Or is it worldwide? Is Jesus Christ building his church not only in Africa, but in Asia, in South America, in North America, in Europe? I have seen great zeal in South Africa for the proclamation of the gospel in South Africa. I've seen less understanding of the need to go out beyond this place. Christ builds his church throughout the world, and in order to do that, some who hear the gospel faithfully transmitted in one place must go to another place to transmit the gospel there, that Christ's church might be built throughout the world. Are you faithful to the gospel that you are determined to proclaim? That's the question before you, brothers. And will you hear God's call? Not only maybe to your own community, but to a different community. Gospel transmission brought Ronald Menethia to South Africa. It brought others of us to South Africa. Where will it send South Africans to build the church of Jesus Christ around the world? May God bless you And may God bless his word. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its truth. And we ask you, Father, that you would bless the word to our understanding and give us willingness to understand and to obey it, that you might be glorified as well as your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this in his name. Amen.